Hello and welcome to The Mic Is Yours, a monthly podcast bringing you episodes of entertaining, informative, and honest discussion with leaders, experts, and public figures from all over the world. I am your host, Adele Prévost. Let's get started. Well, today I'm very pleased to welcome Tom Ryan to talk about the swamp in Washington, D.C. Is it still alive? Where are the lobbyists? Did they all disappear from K Street, as promised by President Trump? Are they back under Biden? Well, let's talk about it with Tom today. And Tom, you know, I have this special thing for lobbyists, I have to say, just because I was in Sacramento many years ago. When I came back to Washington, D.C., I realized that in Washington, D.C., the lobbyists are a little bit different. There are people who understand how the federal government works, someone who provides a voice to make the members of Congress and others in the government aware of the issue and concern of this segment of the American society. And but I realize also that major decision, if they normally take place behind the walls of Capitol Building and other government facility in Washington, D.C., there are places in Washington, D.C. where you can meet lobbyists and you can probably make sure that your voice is going to be heard. So, Tom, we've discussed all that, and I'm so pleased to have you today because you have been a lawyer. You spent almost 30 years on Capitol Hill. And if you have been registered in Washington, D.C., among 10 of thousands of lobbyists, you know, I'm just saying 10 of thousands of lobbyists registered in Washington, D.C., you had represented so many industry, but mainly you have been working as a lobbyist under so many presidents, from Reagan to Biden. I mean, that's 7 or 8 presidents. I'm so pleased to have you today. Thank you, Tom, for coming. Thanks, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Odile. I actually am from the greater Washington metropolitan area and went to law school at Georgetown. At the conclusion of my academic life, I clerked for a law firm and was an associate there. One of the partners was a former counsel to a committee on Capitol Hill, and I became very interested in his work. Had a number of clients who had pressing issues there, and I began helping him and decided I'd like to make a career change and actually work on the Hill myself and be immersed in public policy from the on the ground floor.
Okay, so you were a lawyer before?
I was a lawyer, yes, and of course I was, as counsel to the committee, I also was performing legal work there.
Okay, so, well, interesting concept, because does that mean that every lobbyist have to be a lawyer?
Of course. No, that is by no means a requirement. There are many lobbyists who are not lawyers. I think it can help you being a lawyer. You're actually talking about how laws are made, so to have a little bit of legal experience is a boost, I think.
But Tom, how did you end up in Washington, D.C.?
Having worked on Capitol Hill for 10 years and deciding to make a career change, I went to a small boutique law firm, to use the term of the day, and was there for a few years. And after approximately 5 years, decided I wanted to start my own firm, which I did, and was there for approximately 23 years additionally.
Wow. So in 30 years almost,
yes,
you have seen 6 presidents.
Well, actually, if you go back to the origin of my career in politics and legislation, if you will, that would be 1977, and Jimmy Carter was president. So it was Jimmy Carter, then Reagan, then George H.W. Bush, then Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, and of course,
President Trump.
President Trump, and now President Biden. Yes.
my first question to you now, Tom. How did the practice of lobbying change over your career? Because you have seen so many years and so many different topics, you know, on your desk. So how did it change over the years?
Well, let me go back to the days when I was on the Hill, when I encountered many lobbyists who were seeking meetings with me and my bosses on the committee, the elected members of Congress, and particularly the chairman, to advocate the causes of their clients. And I became convinced when I saw a number of them that I could actually make a living doing this myself. No adverse reflection on anybody in particular, but you know, there were some good lobbyists, some bad lobbyists. That was intriguing to me, and I enjoyed working with lobbyists who were on the same side of an issue when I was on the Hill, because lobbyists, in my opinion, are indispensable to the system. They're a resource. No one should blindly swallow what a lobbyist espouses, but they can provide valuable information, and it needs to be fact-tested and determined to be valuable or not. And to the extent that you have allies in the private sector who are helping you in mobilizing coalitions in support of what you want to do, that's a good thing, assuming your objectives are noble in the beginning. So I would simply say that background was something that I kept in mind when I went to the private sector. The jumping off point for what has really changed lobbying more than anything else, I think, is frankly technology and the internet and the ability to reach grassroots in a way that it was unheard of prior to the full saturation of the country with 24/7 talk radio and social media advertising. The instant availability of information and ability of citizens to access their government through various channels, I think, has done more to change lobbying than anything else. There have been various attempts to regulate lobbying, but fundamentally, and many would disagree with this, but lobbying is a good thing. It is protected by the Constitution. When you think about it in the broadest sense of the term, Martin Luther King was a lobbyist. He wanted to see civil rights laws get changed and was quite effective in doing so. And in fact, we have a monument to him in this country for his achievements. Not all lobbyists, obviously, are that noble or motivated by a broader public interest, that you have many focused on narrow interests of their clients. But what I would say simply is that to the extent that lobbyists compete with one another for a public policy result, and therefore there's a contest of ideas, that's a good thing for our democracy. What unfortunately can occur all too often is the unhealthy influence of money on the political system and the constant money chase politicians must engage in, to stay viable, because they have to fund their campaigns. And the most expensive aspect of a campaign generally is television. And it takes vast sums, particularly in significant metropolitan markets, to run a campaign. And of course, there are always lobbyists who want to be helpful in that regard. So it is natural that members of Congress who need to raise funds will turn to lobbyists for that. And sometimes lobbyists and the members will rely more on that assistance than on the soundness of some of the ideas that are advanced.
Well, as you said, Tom, over the years, lobbying has changed because of technology, the internet, the ability to grab grassroots with social media. But you mentioned something. You mentioned commercial. It is true that under Trump, his love affair with television, lobbyists had to change their strategy and they had to find something else. So they, as soon as he got elected, lobbyists started buying commercial, making him the star of the commercial. In 2017, when they realized that the commercial was something that he was going to listen to, because he was in front of his TV all the time, they realized that if Trump was the star of the commercial, then the president will listen to the issue. So that was a new strategy under the Trump administration. But during his campaign, you know, he said, that was his mojo, but he said all the time, let's drain the swamp. Well, did he really drain the swamp? Has he promised? Because I've seen, you know, some of his lobbyists, Republican lobbyists on the Hill, some of them made a pretty good amount of money during his term. So what do you think?
Well, Donald Trump, first of all, did not drain the swamp. I would suggest that Donald Trump added additional pollution to the swamp through his mode of operating and the cadre of operatives who rode his coattails. So there is a generally accepted notion that condemning lobbyists is a good thing for politicians. Because as you noted, Odila, the term lobbyist has a dirty word connotation. Again, they're good lobbyists and bad lobbyists, just like they're good lawyers and bad lawyers.
That's right.
More generally, good people and bad people. So it's up to the responsibility of elected officials to sort them out and determine what really is in the public interest.
Well, now that you have been saying that lobbyists are extremely important in this country, that the swamp was polluted but was still alive under Trump, and it's true, I've read in many articles in the US that the lobbying activity was flourished during his years of elections and during 4 years. So lobbyists have been making a lot of money on K Street, you know, over the last 4 years. Do you think the swamp will be different under Biden?
I think there certainly will be some differences, but while we may have seen an unseemly increase in swamp-like activity during the Trump administration, the influence of lobbyists has been felt for many, many years prior to the Trump administration. So these things run in cycles, but I guess the thing to note is that if you believe, as I do, that advocates play an essential role in our system and lawyers and lobbyists are advocates for causes that are under consideration and deliberation by elected members, then we can trace the history of lobbying all the way back to the beginning of the Republic. And what has occurred between the enhancement of technology and instant access to information, plus the proliferation of funding needs to run campaigns, it's put everything in the spotlight even more. And there is an inbuilt conflict of interest on the part of members who need to raise money, yet in so doing often deal with some of the same people who are coming before them to advocate a particular cause.
Well, so if before the lobbyists work in all corners of the federal bureaucracy when trying to shape policy, with President Trump, it was a little bit different from what I read, from what I heard, and it seems like everything happened in the Oval Office.
Well,
do you think it's true?
And let me provide you with a little window on my predilection. I'm a registered Democrat and have been so for about 50 years, and I'm not going to disagree with your statement. I think the occupant of the Oval Office to whom you're referring is a particularly narcissistic individual and always makes everything all about him. So he, therefore, and his minions naturally wanted to have all power gravitate toward that office. However, the decisions made all over the government, in remote offices that may have a profound effect on people. And that is never going to change because we have such a sprawling economy and therefore a sprawling government.
Well, so let's hope all the lobbyists are going to listen to our podcast. And that's going to be interesting. You know, I always have been fascinated by the merchant of influence. That's yes. The way I called them in 1992 when I was studying law in Sacramento at McGraw School of Law. And I published an article with the Law Journal about them. And at the time in Sacramento, lobbyists had a bad reputation. What could be done today to make lobbyists less of a dirty word? And is their bad reputation justified?
Well, I think certainly the bad reputation is justified in some cases. But as I mentioned earlier, I think there are good lobbyists and bad lobbyists. I mean, the main problem, I think, occurs because of the intersection of money and politics. And if you will, you can't really have government without politics because people have to get elected. So if lobbying is a dirty word because it's associated with politics, it's kind of endemic to our system to have advocacy. Government without politics would be like marriage without sex.
So, what a conclusion here, Tom. Thanks, Tom, for speaking. The mic is yours, and you can stream and download all episodes of the podcast on themicisyours.com, and be sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at Adele Prévost USA. Thanks for listening and hope to see you next month. It's a sham the angels can fade away after the story ends. Okay.